Oh, listen, I had the I've had the privilege of having the best mom as a mother. That she loved us and showed us the way, and she so many talks and advice. She taught me how to land my wife. She's like, you got to treat her like a lady. Here was some of her advice. And when you drive up in front of her house, don't you honk. You go in and meet her family. All right, fellas, that's number one right there. You honk, it's not a curb service. All right, go in and meet them. All right. She said, she taught me how to date, and she taught me how to treat a lady, and she taught me how to honor women in my life. I grew up around a lot of strong women. My mother, my grandmothers were strong women, and I'm very grateful for them. I think about the New Testament, and we got two books of the Bible named for Timothy. It's letters that were written to Timothy. And in those, he was the pastor, but Paul said to Timothy, hey, I know who your mother was, and I know who your grandmother was. You come from a good place. And it was those women who taught him to live for the Lord. And so many women throughout the Bible and the New Testament that honored the Lord and led the church and led different groups and just lifted up the name of Jesus. So I just want to start this time right now just by saying thank you to all the moms. Listen, my mother was such a good mother that she taught us all those things we needed to know. And then my kids have had the best mother, and I'm incredibly grateful. Amen. Amen. Now I did pick her, but she's the best. All right. No, I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful. The Bible talks about the role of women in the home and the church and the world and all of those places are vitally important. It's not just one-sided when it comes to marriages and families. It takes two people. And so this morning, here's what I want us to do. I've asked John and Helen, if y'all want to move your chair back a little bit, John. Yeah. So everybody can see us. Yeah. There we go. John and Helen lead. Let me first tell you what we're going to do. I'm getting ahead of myself. Instead of just sharing a typical Mother's Day message with you today, I really felt like that God wanted us to do this, all right? I've asked John and Helen to give Jody and I a chance just to talk to them, interview them this morning as our final part of the series we're calling Miracles. And we've seen so many wonderful things happen over the last several months. I mean, from healings and God providing financially in miraculous ways, and God putting together marriages and just so many things. And so we've been praying for all those things. And John and Helen have a story that a lot of you already know, but I wanted us to take time to share it on a Sunday morning. I love John and Helen. They serve at in Celebrate Recovery here every week. Yeah. Here's the beautiful thing. If you don't know anything about Celebrate Recovery, it meets on Friday night, but it's going on 7 days a week. All right. And so I'm just thankful for them and to them for everything that's going on. So let's just start with this. Just tell us a little bit about y'all growing up. Where did you grow up? How did you grow up? Did you grow up in church? Those kinds of things.
Well, so I did grow up in church. My parents, we attended a Baptist church in Las Vegas, so the bus came and picked us up every Sunday, and I attended church as long as I could remember, as far back as I could remember, all the way up until I was about 11 years old, but my parents never attended with me. I never knew why. I found out later on why, but I did grow up in
church. So... kind of. I was born into a Catholic family, and so my family made sure that I did the catechism and just checked all the boxes, but we didn't go to church regularly. We just checked the boxes. My parents mm-hmm. Divorced when I was in kindergarten, and so at the time we lived in California, So when they divorced my mom, now with two daughters, we went back to live with her parents in Mexico. And so I continued to go to church while I was there. And up until my first marriage.
Yeah. So how long have y'all been married now?
21 years.
21 years.
Yeah.
John.
She said it faster.
I saw John mouthing it as she said it, though. So both of you had previous marriages early on in your adult life.
Yeah, in fact, this is my third marriage, and my first one, I married my high school sweetheart. We had two boys, and we were separated, and while a separation, he was killed. And I married a second time, and that lasted 1 year, a very emotional, abusive relationship, and then I brought all that pain and baggage to my third marriage. Yeah.
Blue mic
here.
Yeah, so I was previously married. I got pregnant, not myself personally, but at 17. So I had a kid at 18, one at 19. And then when my third kid was born at 20, I was 24 years old at the time. And my ex-wife decided that she didn't want to be a mother, didn't want to be married anymore. And she left and left me with my three kids. And so I had custody of my three kids. We were married for 7 years at that time. And so that's when I met my wife. It was probably about 9 months after that is when I met my wife. And we dated for about 2 years. We did it completely backwards. We actually moved in together, bought a house, and then got married. But it was, like she said, there were seven of us, and that was seven different personalities living in the same household.
Yeah.
This sounds like a movie.
Yeah.
It's about to get real.
It gets worse.
It does get real.
So what year did you get married?
2001.
2001, yeah. I'm not even going to try to do the math backwards to 21 years. 2001, okay. So then you guys had already been together a couple of years before that. So then, now y'all been leading Celebrate Recovery for 7 years?
Yes.
7 years, yeah. And it was right before that that I'm going to say it the way I would say it, and then you can say it. You can correct me. I would say that's when you guys started to get healthy.
Oh, yeah.
Right before that. So 8 or 9 years ago, there was some things going on, and then you started to work on, started to change your approach.
Right.
I will say it that way. So if y'all don't mind, tell us a little bit about your struggle. I know you said you had three kids and two kids. You had previous marriages. You got bringing a lot of, you said, baggage. What kind of issues did y'all run into, and sort of tell us about your challenges through that?
Yeah, so of course, it started off, and I realized this when I started attending Celebrate Recovery, and it was right about 9 years ago. But it started off with loss and abandonment all my life. And so going through middle school years, I started using drugs and alcohol. High school got really bad, and even as an adult. And it wasn't until after I started having kids, I realized I needed to do something. So I quit using drugs, and I just started drinking. And I used the drinking, again, I found out during a step study that I was using the alcohol as a mask to cover my pain. And so I brought that into my marriage, and I carried that baggage, as my wife said, I carried that baggage from my past hurts, not only from my ex-wife, but from my childhood growing up, that I had all this loss and abandonment all my life, from my parents being divorced to losing my brother, losing my grandmother, my mother passing away, So all of that baggage I carried right into my marriage with my wife. Some of it she dealt with me. And we found out that it was really, really bad.
Yeah. So I want to talk about, like, just how dysfunctional our family was.
Sure.
So being a blended family, he had three kids, and I had two of my own. Johnny and I never had kids together. But my children's father had passed away, and his children's mother didn't want anything with her children. So we raised all our kids. We were mom and dad 24/7 to all of them, all five of them. Yeah. Thank you for that. So the beginning of our marriage was really good. We call it good, right? We stayed drunk all the time. We drank a lot. I would say we were functioning drunks, right? We raised a family. We went to work. We provided good for the family. But nevertheless, we got home, and the first thing we would do is drink. And that, we would stay doing that until the beer was gone or we couldn't stay up anymore. Then our oldest son started issues. And we got a phone call from the police who had our oldest arrested. And I even told the police, no, you don't. My son's sleeping. And he said, I promise you he's not. Go check. I'll wait. And I checked. And he wasn't there.
Oh,
and he was 15 at the time. And I was so drunk every day, blacked out, that my son had been sneaking out of the house for a very long time. So by the time he was arrested and I found out anything, he was already a full-blown heroin addict at 15. That was the beginning of a cycle of depression for me going into a pit and the beginning of our marriage problems, because now I don't want to drink anymore because I've got to watch him. And in the meantime, he'd lost his drinking buddy, so there's the split right there. And chaos just started happening. It lasted, right? So that was the beginning of our son. And the beginning of our first separation. And we had four total separations. When we got back together, we sent our son to a Christian boarding school. He did very well, but we went right back to our old cycle of drinking.
Wow.
And so my only friend at the time that I had who was a Christian, she would warn me, if you and John don't get on board, you're going to lose your son again when he comes back. And that's exactly what happened. So a year after that, our second oldest was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia at 17 years old. A serious case of schizophrenia. And so even my depression went even deeper. Our dysfunction got worse because now we have somebody with mental illness running around who doesn't want to take their medication. And now the other kids are picking on him, or he's picking on them, and I'm trying to defend him. I'm trying to defend my oldest son. He thinks I'm not doing enough with my kids. I think he's picking on them, and this was just a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
A year later, our middle daughter decides she wants to run away at 16. So we tried with CPS to get her back at home, and that wasn't working. We finally just stopped. And our fourth separation, we ended up here in Texas thinking a new state was going to fix everything. And exactly a year later, we get separated. And so I just want to say that the dysfunction in our home was like that of a Jerry Springer status. And I'm not saying that to exaggerate. I want you to know. It is in no exaggeration. It was broken windows. The cops were at my house all the time. Drugs were in and out. Total chaos. There was like a revolution inside our home. Mm. I felt prison was more peaceful for me than to be in my own house.
Yeah, I want to add something so everyone understands. This whole time, we were in church at least once a month because our four oldest kids, we had them in catechism. And so it was a requirement for the parents to attend church once a month with our children. So we had our kids in church, and all this dysfunction was still going on at home.
We hid things very well.
Wow. That's an important part of this, isn't it?
Yeah.
That you hid things very well.
Yeah.
It's that just put it all together and to everybody else. Mm-hmm. And it's a heavy burden to carry, too. Mm-hmm. For all of us, when we're all hurting. We're all hurting. And every family is dysfunctional on some level,
right,
or healing in some area. It might not be a Jerry Springer show, mm-hmm, but there's something going on. And then the hiding it becomes one of the ways we deal with it.
Yeah.
So what finally brought it to a point that you were like, we really have to do something different? What happened, or how did you come to that decision?
Well, during our fourth separation here in Texas, after almost 2 years, it was very close to 2 years, our paths crossed. And, I mean, in Las Vegas, that's where we come from, we did try counseling. We went to see a psychotherapist, and it helped a little bit, you know, to understand, just to barely get by.
Yeah.
And so when we got here after our separation, our paths crossed, and Pastor, I came to you and Jody and said, John and I are talking again, and you knew about John's drinking problem, and you said that I think it would be a really good idea for John to go through a 12-step. And if he's committed really to his family, he's going to complete that. And then you can talk about a reconciliation. And that's exactly what I did. So I told John he didn't have any problems doing this. And I went with him to celebrate recovery because I wanted to make sure he went.
That's interesting, isn't it? You
right.
went with him because he's the one with the problem.
Right? Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That's what we find out, isn't it?
And so I went with him, and I had no idea it was to help me too. Yeah. And when you come to Celebrate Recovery, we always have a one-time meeting just to share a little bit more. And at that meeting is where I found out and heard words like depression, yeah, and codependency and all those things that, I knew I had to work on me. I just didn't know Celebrate Recovery could help me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so during our separation, you know, I thought we were getting divorced. This is it. This is final. I quit going to church, moved to Fort Worth and everything, and I was working for a company that had me traveling all over the state of Texas. I'm a HVAC mechanic by trade, so I would drive all day, climb up on a roof, work on very large air conditioning equipment, then I'd go check into a hotel and drink until I passed out. That was my daily routine, and I was gone for weeks at a time. And at the same time, by the way, I had an 18-year-old son and a 15-year-old son at home, 14-year-old son, and I would just leave them there. So they were out running the streets. Not that I was really in charge of the 18-year-old because he did what he wanted to, right? But I would literally leave them and be gone. And one day while I was in San Antonio in a hotel room, this was after our paths crossed, I broke down in asking God to remove the addictions from my life. And I mean, snot, slobber, everything. I mean, it was one of those nasty prayers, right? And it was about a week later, I was back in Austin in a hotel room, and that was the last drink I've ever taken. It was January 7th of 2014. Amen. And on March 22nd, that's when Helen was telling me about Celebrate Recovery, and I was like, I don't need that. Yeah, but yeah, I'm trying to get back into good graces with my wife, right? So I agreed to walk in there, and I met my first forever family, and I've been going every week since then.
Amen. Amen. And how long ago was that?
That was March 22nd of 2014.
14. So somebody do the math. 9 years? Almost 9 years?
It's okay. A little bit more than 9 years, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what, now, when you decided to get back together, you got all these marriage problems, and I'm sure there's people that are here in the room and online today. There are people on every level of marriage struggle, all the way up to where you guys were, and everybody is trying to, it wants to heal their marriage. Nobody wants to get married and get divorced or separated. But there's some things that happened that y'all started doing that changed how your marriage was functioning that I think worked for everybody in the room. First of all, you got to deal with addictions. I mean, you can't pretend that's not there. That's the obvious substance abuse issues. But what did y'all start doing that you felt like was different or that started to change it so that your marriage was different?
Well, so when I started recovery, I was going for me. Like, I didn't go to recovery to fix my marriage. I came to recovery to fix me, and the bonus was that my marriage was restored.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I'm telling you, yeah, that one statement is worth the price you paid to get in here today.
Yeah.
I mean, to work on me, I just told somebody earlier this morning,
yeah.
When I work on me, my wife's flaws don't show up nearly as much.
Yes, that's true. Yes.
You know, it starts with,
yes.
It starts, she doesn't have any. it starts with working on whatever's going on with us personally. So
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I do want to share, like, what type of wife I was and what type of mom I was, because a lot of people just see the new Helen and, you know, don't know where I came from and the severity of my brokenness. And so I was a very controlling wife. I know I said Jerry Springer earlier, and that was funny because it's funny because we know what goes on in Jerry Springer. However, I had a friend come from Las Vegas to visit us, and she said, you should have your own TV show. It was it was bad. And so I was so controlling, but I didn't know that I was, number one. I felt like I had such a big family that the only way to keep things in order was to be so disciplinarian and make sure that everybody did as I said they needed to do. Otherwise, things were going to fall apart, and then I had to deal with him. Then he was going to leave again. Then we were going to go through whatever it was going to happen. But the fear is what made me want to control everything. So I didn't know at the time, of course, until I went to Celebrate Recovery, how I was functioning. But when I realized that Helen was trying to control everything and not allowing and trusting God, I was creating more disaster and my own hang-ups and my own defects were just getting worse and worse and worse. Now, I had come, so the severity of my control, like, I'm going to say something that's an exaggeration to you, but it's true. Like, I would never, ever allow my husband to touch any of our money in our bank accounts. Like, everything had to be controlled by me. I would say, today, you're going to go have lunch at Jack in the Box, and you're going to get the $5 meal. It was horrible. I controlled my kids. I was a very, very hard disciplinarian. And so I wanted to point just some things out, because God, he can change us, and he does change Amen. Us. Amen. Yes. Amen. And so I don't want people to think like that what you do needs to be, number one, hidden in the darkness, and two, think that you're so far gone that this is just the way you're going to be for the rest of your life. And so I was in love with God for a long, long time, but I just didn't know how much God loved me. And so through Celebrate Recovery, I learned to trust God in a way that I hadn't been doing. I was trusting only Helen. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so when that shifted, and waiting on God and trusting on him, then I began to see, I could witness movement going on that I wasn't controlling anymore. Like, I could see God bringing my kids over. I could see that they were being calm during dinner. I could see that I could talk to John about something and he wasn't exploding, and I wasn't having to control. Let me talk to him in the evening because that's when he's nice. Let me have Junior come over when he's at work, because if they're together, like, I didn't do that no more. I said my prayers and I trusted God that he's going to work things out, not Helen.
That's powerful. Yeah.
Yeah, so when I realized that it was me, I had to work on me. I had to make changes in my life in order to better my marriage, better my relationship with my family, my kids. It was, and you know, I tell this every Friday during Newcomers 101. I tell people that it's a learned behavior, right? I learned how to party when I was a kid. From my parents. I taught my kids how to party. Guess what all five of my kids ended up doing? Partying and using drugs and running the streets. All five of them. And it wasn't because I said, you need to do it this way. It's because they watched me. They watched what I was doing. And when I learned that, and it took me, you know, 38 years to figure this out, by the way, that it doesn't matter what I tell my kids, they're going to be watching me.
Yeah.
And that's what was what I got. And it was like, I have to change this. And, you know, hopefully for my grandkids, they get to see how their grandparents are, and we that's can good. Train them yeah. the right way.
They'll never see us drunk, that's for sure.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. So what, when you guys got back together, you were never really divorced, were you?
No.
You just separated several times. When you both started getting healthy, and I do think that's a huge part of this morning, is it's not a marriage that has a problem. It's two people that have problems and issues and hurts and habits and hangups. That are trying to make a marriage work. And the Bible says that the two shall become one. So now you're bringing two people trying to make it one unit, but you've all got problems. You got baggage you're bringing. You got habits you've developed over the years to cope, all that stuff. And so one of the keys is just getting healthy and realizing your own personal dysfunction, because it would be the same if you were alone.
Right.
Because it's still you. Mm-hmm. If you get divorced and marry somebody else, it's still you. And the next person is going to have the same issues that you thought the last one had. When you guys said you were getting back together and you started getting healthy, y'all chose to have a vow renewal. You did it in your backyard over on, was it 6th Street or somewhere?
Yeah, Britton.
O'Connor.
Yeah.
O'Connor,
yeah. And it was really a defining moment for you to say, okay, what did that mean? Tell us a little bit about what that meant. Why did you feel like that was important?
Okay. Well, we had almost a 2-year separation, and okay, Jody, I'm gonna go down that road because that's the truth. When John and I got back together,
no pressure to say anything.
Relax, honey. Yeah. So, okay. When John and I started talking again, Jody, we started talking and kind of visiting each other a lot and going out, you know, to just meeting. And Jody said, you know, Helen.
I don't think it's John that should be nervous. It sounds like you should be nervous.
Yeah, I'm not sweating. I know the story.
She said, you know, Helen, I know, you know, how you and John started. And you have a new opportunity to do this the right way. And I wasn't really sure what she meant, but she explained that John should have his own place and not mingle like a married couple, but to do it the right way, that God would want me to wait until we live together and are intimate before you get married. So it didn't make sense to me, but I love my friend, and she's my leader and my spiritual leader, so I went with it because of that, right? Because I trust her. And I went to John, and I said, hey, I was very scared, okay? So we're not going to be anything yet. We are going to go through our recovery, and you're going to be in your own home. And I just want you to, if that's your plan and you want to change your life, that you should change your life on your own. And I'm going to do the same on my own. And we're not an item, John. We're not together until after, you know, if we go through recovery and God wants us to be together and we renew our vows, we'll renew our vows. So so we did that. It was very scary, right? We, like, afraid me that I could lose him again and that he would get tired of being sober and being alone. And so he agreed, like he said earlier, he was trying to get in good standing. And so we went through a 9-month courtship, and God let me know when it was ready to go ahead and renew our vows. And by now we were deep into our recovery, and I told my husband that I was ready, and we got married, had a vow renewal in our backyard. It was beautiful, and then we went to go live together.
Yes. Yeah. And I think the defining moment for Helen, I mean, and just in watching you, I remember Helen saying to me, Jody, I've always wanted to marry a godly man. And I was like, well, sister, now's your chance, you know? We're putting what's behind us and we're pressing on. And I'm just so thankful that, you know, God, this restored my hope in marriage restoration. Yeah, I will just tell you that in the process of watching this, it was so beautiful. And I'm really thankful for the steps that you guys have taken, you know, to do that. And tell us about that day and what made that day so special when you renewed your vows.
So while we were separated, pastors had asked me if I could lead a share group, and I said no. I have nothing nice to offer anybody right now, especially women. You know, I hate men. And so the next step study came around, not step study, small groups came around, and they had asked me again if I would lead a share group for women. And so anyways, I went ahead and did it. I didn't even know what was going to happen, but I just gathered a few women in my living room. There was about six of us, and I bought a book, and it was called Girlfriends and God. I said, okay, I'll call this group Girlfriends and God. So we called it GIG for short, and so it was just little stories about miracles, okay? But during that first small group, and then a few months later, we started it again. So it grew from like six women to like 40 women, okay? And during this time, we're like concentrating on this book of little miracles, but I'm sharing everything that God's doing in my marriage. Like, we're in recovery now. We're talking now. In the first share group, we were divorced. I mean, we were separated. We were going to get a divorce. I've never spoken to him. I never wanted to speak to him. And so without me knowing, like, my life is building their faith, because they were able to see the big mess that was going on. And then God just little by little transforming our marriage and putting us back together. So long story short, we had a renewal, and all the gigs made our wedding happen. They were all there and planned it all. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Community. Yeah. Yeah. So,
give us, each of you, give us one piece of advice you would share with a struggling married couple this morning.
I would say, you know, patience. You know, be patient with each other. You know, it's, you know, this whole thing is about getting closer to God, and that's what helped me, is to get closer to God. If I wanted to see change in my wife, I needed to change myself first. And once I changed myself, I was able to, and Patrick just said a few minutes ago about maybe it's him that changed, that he sees a change in Jody. And that's where I was that I was able to level set and see things differently than, and it was easier for, it helped us build our relationship big time.
Yeah, I would say that when you're married and you're struggling, you're going through a phase, you know, a lot of times we get so caught up on who's right. And we love our spouses, but we could sometimes also be so hurtful at times. And, you know, we think like if we're winning the argument that we're winning. And it might only temporarily feel good, but it's not going to last. And I think that the devil, like, really has a hold on us and has convinced us, like, win at any cost. Have the last word, you know, get back. And I have found out that the sooner you forgive, you have a freedom and this peace that comes inside of you, and you are like, whoo, that feels so good. But we're thinking, and we've been convinced that don't go and forgive. Let him, let her forgive first. And so I would say that is that even in all your pride, even if you're angry, make a way to patch things up. I used to go to bed and I would be angry at John and go days without talking to him. Thank God. Thank God. I've mastered that. I mean, even if you have to barely touch their pinky toe, make a connection. Even if you're dying to say goodnight and you don't want to, say it anyways.
Yeah.
Even if you don't want to say I'm sorry, because it's only hard until you say it. Yeah. Once it's done, it's done. It's so easy, and the feeling is amazing.
That's good advice. You know, if there's a winner, there has to be a loser.
That's right.
And you're trying to make, we try to make our spouse the loser because we want to be the winner, which is a dangerous game to play. Jody, you had one more question.
So what I hear you guys saying is that you're both different, right? So that's very pivotal in this journey, is that you've both been transformed, right? And so, Helen, if you had, this is not on the script, but if you had just two words to describe the new John, how you feel about the, how about three words? Three words, how you feel about the new John, this John that after you married this godly man. John, you get to think a little longer. You get three words too.
He's a leader, a godly leader. He's the pastor in our home, and he's gentle and kind.
Thank you, honey.
She said three words. Smoking hot wife. Now, I mean, clearly I married up. Guys, I'm just saying. My wife is my rock. Whenever I need to, whenever I have an issue, I know I can talk to her about it. And I'm not going to get advice that is out there. And a lot of times I don't even have to ask her. She knows when I need her advice because she just tells me things.
Man. Well, it truly has. This has been a, our series is called Miracles, and watching you guys is a miracle. You, I mean, I know both of you are intelligent people and all of that, but what's happened with you guys is a miracle.
Yes.
I mean, it really is. You can't go from Jerry Springer to leading Celebrate Recovery without, yeah. And you're an encouragement to so many people every day. And we're all grateful for y'all. I want us to, we're gonna pray, and then we've got a little something we want to do with moms after that. But I want you, if you would, just to stand with me. And I've asked John and Helen if they would pray over our marriages. If you're if you're struggling a little bit or a lot, God always has room for us to grow. Or maybe you're doing great right now, but you don't know what you're going to face tomorrow, right? So I want us just to lean into the Lord on this and just in faith ask for his help with this. Let's go.
Yeah, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you today and we ask you for strength and wisdom. And Lord, and we just ask you to bless these marriages, Lord. I specifically want to lift up the men and all the husbands out there, all the that, Lord, just we just ask you to remove pride and humble ourselves, Lord, and bring us, Lord, convict us in what we need to do. Be spiritual leaders of our households, Lord, that, Lord, it's just that step to be able to grab hold of us and lead us, Lord, and help us lead our families, Lord. Lord, we thank you in advance for what you're doing.
Yes, God, we just thank you, Father God, for the gift of marriage, Lord. God, I lift up the families right now, Lord, that are struggling, God. The ones who have already threatened divorce, God. The families are so divided, God. I pray, Lord, that tonight's message and words, Father God, would have brought a new hope to them, Lord God. That they would leave today, Lord, knowing that the same God who restored our marriage will do it for them.
Amen.
Father God.
Amen.
God, I pray for the women, God, for the rebellious one, God, who never wants to say sorry first. I pray for the wife who's crazy to control everything. She's driving herself crazy, Lord. For the mom who can't stop worrying about her family, Lord, I pray, Father God, for all the wives. Teach us, Lord, how to forgive quickly, God. Remove the pride, Lord, from our life. Help us, Lord, to look at our character, to love our husbands well, to be careful how we speak to them, to honor them, to praise them, to respect them, Lord. God, I just pray, Father God, right now, Lord, that you would already be moving in the hearts right now, convicting some of these wives that they want to change, Lord. Show them, Father God, have their paths crossed with the right person, Lord, that they would be encouraged today, Father God, to keep fighting for their marriage, Father God, to trust you, to move away from the prayer and taking back their request, and just to trust you with their marriage, Father God. Thank you, Lord God. We love you, God. Thank you for the gift of marriage. And everybody said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Here's something I believe that we all need to remember when God is doing something big in our lives. Deliverance or healing is an event followed by a process. God does a big thing. Like this morning, God may just motivate you right now to start working on your marriage. It might be that moment that starts it, but tomorrow's coming, and the kids are still going to be crazy, and you're still going to have to go to work, and there's still going to be bills. So it's an event like this morning, followed by a process of learning to walk this thing out. And you're going to take two or three steps forward, and then there'll be a step back. And then another few steps forward and another step back. There's going to be bumps in the road, but just stay with it. Don't give up on it. God has a plan. God wants to heal. God wants to help. And I am so grateful for people like John and Helen, and especially John and Helen in mine and Jody's life. They've been mentors and helpers to us. We've shared things with them that we haven't shared with anybody else. And they've walked with us through those things. I'm grateful for people like that in my life. People who are willing to invest in us. And so if you, let me just give a quick plug to Celebrate Recovery. If you are struggling, if you are hurting, if you know you're unhealthy, be here on Friday night. Just show up. All you got to do is show up. That's it. You don't have to have a plan beyond that. You don't have to have it all figured out. Just walk in, and I promise you, somebody will hug you. Yeah. And it's a great place to start healing your marriage. And so I just believe God's got some healing for some folks in this room this morning and online as well. I think God has some good things coming. Amen. All right, can we give John and Helen a hand as they go? Amen. Amen.
So if you are a mother, we've made prayer cloths for you, and these have been anointed and prayed over. And I would love for all the mothers to come grab a prayer cloth and stay in the altar, and we're going to pray a prayer over our mothers today. All right, so come on up and just make your way. And while you do that, let's just make a big family of girls in the altar. And I'm going to read a scripture. Y'all, moms are very special, and this is something that is not old. We've been doing prayer cloths since Scripture, and it's been a tradition. I didn't realize what a tradition it was in the church, but it started all the way back. And as they come on up, there should be plenty. If yours is empty, come on up here. Look at all these beautiful ladies. All right, y'all, scooch in. Make room. They're coming down the aisles. Make room. I know you're like, Jody, there is not enough room. I'm like, I know, girls, we can scooch in the bathroom. So I know we can do it in the altar. So we love being together. Praise the Lord. Come on up. Spread out to the sides. Spread out to the sides. Yes. Praise the Lord. There are more coming down the aisle. So you guys just keep spreading around. Hold them up tall. All right. As they get their prayer cloth, I want to read you this scripture, and this tells you where it's from. So all the fellas in the building, go ahead and stand to your feet. And we're going to pray a prayer over these women. But in scripture, this is the point of a prayer cloth. In scripture, it says, and God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched the skin were carried to the sick, and their diseases left them, and evil spirits came out. The woman touched the hem of Jesus' garment. She never had to touch Jesus, because Jesus, the power was... She needed what Jesus had, but all she had to do was touch the hem of his garment. And in the New Testament, after Jesus passed, this was carried on. So these prayer cloths, we proclaimed healing. We've proclaimed freedom. We've proclaimed freedom from addiction. We've proclaimed salvation. We've proclaimed restoration in marriages. We've proclaimed harvest, workers in the harvest over these prayer cloths. And I don't know what your need is, women, today, if you are mothers, but what I know is that a mother carries many needs. And so we're going to pray for them, pray for these mothers this morning, that as they take these prayer cloths, they will use them boldly in the name of Jesus, and that they will ask boldly in the name of Jesus, proclamations over their family that we don't even know today. Are you men? Are you ready? Because only you know how to pray for your lady. And I will tell you that I can pray, but with the passion that you pray for her, that is the passion that God will use. So if you believe in your lady right here, I want you to pray for them in the name of Jesus. Come on, lift your hands this way. Heavenly Father, we thank you for every mother in this room. Father, you value mothers. Mothers have something so special that they bring to the home. They literally set the atmosphere in the home. But today, as they take these prayer cloths, I pray your anointing would go with it, that God, you would give them direction and exactly what to do with this prayer cloth. We proclaim healing in the name of Jesus. We proclaim power in the name of Jesus. We proclaim hope, God. We proclaim freedom from addiction, God, freedom from depression. Lord, whatever the need is, you are the giver. You are the giver and the way maker, and we just give it to you today, Father, and we thank you for all that you're doing. God, bless these mothers today as they leave this place, and we thank you for each and every one of them. Men, can you say amen? Yes, hallelujah. God bless y'all. Thank you so much for coming, and have a beautiful, beautiful Mother's Day.